Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Round two of the recording because our recorder, what do you even call this?
I don't know,
Zoom H6, whatever, ran out of batteries, so we're starting again, but we got a good practice run in.
Yeah, it was good. There was actually some math I wanted to do on the flying in the U.S. World Cup, so I got to do that while you were fixing it.
Perfect. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how dumb FIFA is, how stupid the NCAA is, a lot of football stuff, maybe a little bit of basketball. We do got to do the ick of the week one more time real quick.
All right. I will be just as confused this time as I was the first.
So ick of the week this week comes from Katie McDermott. Love Island superstar, multi-million Instagram follower, English girl. So when guys are wearing sandals and they like trip over them because they get like caught on the ground and they do a little stumble.
Yeah.
Complete red flag for Katie McDermott. So it's guys, don't trip over your sandals.
Absolutely not. I would like to know, because I know she says this, but like how into a guy could she be and see that?
She's pretty stubborn and not in a good way. So I think she could be engaged and... like, I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah. And it's interesting she says, like, guys, because, like, this happens to girls if they're wearing flip-flops, right?
Yeah. So, but girls can't do anything wrong ever. So. Okay. So yeah. For guys, you get cut out of her life completely. And girls, it's just whatever. Yeah.
Well, good for Katie.
I think what's dumber is wearing sneakers with swimming pool, swim shorts. I think that's stupider than anything you could do in sandals.
Is that something that she does?
She literally... well, she was like, guys should just wear trainers if they can't walk in the shoes. And in my head, that looks way dumber.
Right. Yeah, no, that's horrible. You absolutely can't have that.
Man. Okay, so that's the ick of the week. So let's talk World Cup, because 2030 World Cup, and we need to talk about 2034 as well, but 2030 just got announced yesterday. It's going to be in Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. Two continents, but all right next to each other. But the first three games are going to be in Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. I think on round one I said Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. So I went to a more American accent there.
Nice.
To honor the first 100 years. And because that's like the first two champions were... we didn't even talk about that. Were the first two... because that's who won it first, or that's where it played first? Because Uruguay won the first two.
Yeah, it's where it was played first. And I honestly thought that Uruguay just hosted it, but I guess, you know, maybe they did share it with Paraguay and Argentina. I actually haven't looked that up. But yeah, no. So, and the obvious problem with that is, like, it's cool to have it in South America. I think the World Cup should be in South America more. I don't think there's anywhere in the world that loves soccer as much as South America. But you can't ask South Korea to fly to Montevideo in Uruguay, play a game, and then fly 4,000 miles to Morocco, probably closer to 5,000, 6,000 miles, honestly. I'm bad at math. That's probably not that. But the point is, that's absolutely ridiculous. You can't do it.
It makes no sense. Just have the tournament there.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I think that Spain, Portugal, Morocco... great choice to host a World Cup, those three countries.
Well, it's better than the U.S., Canada, and Mexico if we're talking just pure distance.
Well, yeah, no, that's something that people haven't really talked about because we're so excited about having the World Cup here. But, you know, the distance from Canada to Mexico, depending on where you measure, is going to be around 1,400 miles. It's about 2,500 miles from California to New York-ish. So, like, by the time the World Cup's done, if you've got to play in Mexico or Canada, I don't think that any team would play in both, but I guess they could. I'm not going to be surprised if a team ends up flying 12,000 miles who wins a World Cup.
It makes no sense. It's so dumb. I don't know. It's dumb. And, like, I get with the one country, like Qatar and Russia, like Qatar, they had slave labor, you know, had tons of people die building it. So if, like, more countries gets that benefit... but the automatic qualifying thing comes into play because every host country gets to qualify automatically. In one country, that makes perfect sense. But six countries in very competitive, like Morocco's really good, so I don't think that'd be an issue qualifying out of Africa. Portugal and Spain, again, both very good, but Europe is so competitive. You never know. They've missed it in the past. Italy hasn't qualified for the last two World Cups.
For sure, yeah.
And then in South America, there's like nine teams that are... Brazil and Argentina are the best, but like Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, Chile, all very competitive. There's only so many spots. So just giving one to Uruguay and Paraguay, I think is super unfair for one game.
Right. Well, and typically what they've done is they've just, for example, if the United States hosted by itself, CONCACAF would just send one extra team to the World Cup, which makes sense. But with CONCACAF, you can't send an extra three teams. That's two-thirds of the region.
Yeah, it's absurd.
So, and yeah, so either they're going to do that and they're going to end up sending Bolivia, or the other team I would have said is Paraguay, who, despite the fact that Miguel Almiron is one of the five best South American players right now, you know, Paraguay's not a great team, probably shouldn't be at the World Cup. But yeah, so it's a lot of, it's a, either a lot of South American teams, or you're sending Paraguay instead of Colombia, which doesn't make sense.
Now, let me ask you this, because I just thought of this. Going to 48 teams, which I also think is really dumb, because 32 is the perfect number. Is that going to mess with, like, the automatic qualifier? That dilutes it a little bit, I'm sure.
It will dilute it a little bit. So that would be interesting to pull up. But, yeah, Europe got another, I don't know, like, because they added 48 plus 32. So it's like 16 teams. Europe got like 8 of those, which is kind of unfair, but they also have so many countries. South America got, I think, maybe 2 as opposed to 4. I think South America is at 6 qualifiers. But then, yeah, if you just did 3, then that would just be the whole region except for Bolivia.
And so dumb. Yeah. So stupid.
So I don't know exactly how that's going to work. The one in the U.S., Canada, is kind of too big. It sort of makes sense. And it's kind of a bummer that we're talking about this, because Spain, Portugal, Morocco is really, really interesting. And especially for me, thinking about the World Cup's going to be in Africa for the second time ever, which is awesome. And then the history of Spain and Portugal with Northern Africa, being at war with them for so long, and then them hosting the World Cup together is really, really interesting. I think it'd be really cool, but nobody's talking about that. They're talking about just this disaster of 6 automatic qualifiers and who's going to draw the short straw to fly 6,000 miles.
Do you think it'll be like the playoff teams, and like that'll be your punishment, like if you qualify via playoff or something, or random?
Maybe. I mean, traditionally the host country plays the first game, so there's a really good chance. I bet for sure that those three games are Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. I don't know. Because then, yeah, you don't send Spain or Portugal down there. That seems like it'd be weird. But then you're not having the kind of the real host country playing in the first game, which is strange.
Yeah. So, well, that's right. I didn't even think of that. So would they have, like, Spain play Uruguay or something like that? But then they'd have to manipulate the group. It makes no sense. Like, again, I get, like, 2 or 3 countries hosting, though I disagree with it. But I get it from a logistics standpoint. Like the Olympics, less and less countries are being willing to host that, especially the Winter Olympics.
Right. Yeah, which, and again, like you said, Spain and Portugal are right next to each other. That's like the square area of Utah and Colorado and Wyoming.
Yeah. So that's fine. Morocco's right across the sea. So, like, I think for those three, it's not going to be that bad travel-wise.
No. Yeah. I think that's and like I said, I really think it's a perfect situation. 3 countries that really, really like soccer. And then you saw last World Cup how much Morocco meant to just the entire Middle East. And so for them to get to host the World Cup is really, really great.
Their run was cool. At one point I saw it was going to be Portugal, Spain, and Ukraine. This was right in the middle of the, like, when the Ukraine war started and we were all Team Ukraine. That would have been dumb.
Yes.
That would have been stupid.
Yeah, no, that would have. And I think, yeah, by the time 2030 rolled around, I think people would have been less excited.
This is like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So
FIFA's literally like the dumb, like, I think, like, blatantly the most corrupt organization, right?
Yeah, I think like, so, absolutely.
Not even trying to hide it necessarily.
Yeah, I mean they're not getting free labor per se. Like, they're doing more shady things, But the NCAA is just straight unpaid labor, which is crazy.
Speaking of the NCAA, like, and yeah, talking about the NCAA, they're just stupid. Did you see the North Carolina Tez Walker stuff?
I know that you told me about it, but I'm not super close with
it. So North Carolina transfer receiver Tez Walker transferred from Kent State. Initially, he played at, I think, Elon, but they got their season canceled during COVID. Then he transferred somewhere else and redshirted, didn't play. Transferred to Kent State, so that's the only school he's played at. And then transferred to North Carolina. NCAA denied his waiver. And everyone lost their mind because it was like they allowed other people under the same situation to play. There's basketball players playing at like their ace school who are eligible and things like that. So everyone, like Mac Brown was super mad, like the governor of North Carolina, like everyone is super upset, not rightfully so. Like he went back to North Carolina to be by his sick grandmother, closer to her, and so she could watch him play. Today, the NCAA announced that he was eligible to play, and they made this whole fuss about UNC, like, withheld information that was just released to the NCAA. Like, if they would, and they said, paraphrasing, but basically a direct quote, like, if UNC wouldn't have gone on this PR tirade and just given them the information, that we wouldn't have been in this situation.
Yeah, I'm sure they were hiding all of the information in the PR campaign.
Well, that's what UNC says. Like, we gave them everything in July, and then it, like, really what happened, it turns out, is the NCAA was gonna get sued. They're like two lawyers, including the attorney general from North Carolina, who were gonna sue the NCAA for like antitrust and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so the new information was they were just gonna get sued out of their minds,
right?
And they just tried to blame it on North Carolina.
Yeah. And then I don't know, the other thing about the NCAA that in a way gives them the edge over FIFA for me is they always recalibrate. You know, like I feel like FIFA, they kind of stick to their guns for the most part, but the NCAA, they just go back and forth and back and forth so much. And so it's like with this situation, it's frustrating because, like, yeah, I'm great the kid gets to play, but he's missed the first month of the season.
He missed the game in Charlotte, his hometown, against South Carolina.
Yeah, and so that's going to ruin, you know, the year for him. He can't get those four seasons back. It's going to count as a season against him. So he still lost a significant portion of the year.
Yeah, and he's only going to be able to play this one. Like, you never get playing back, you know?
Yeah.
The rest of his life, he's never getting those four games back. Because the NCAA is just it's like the smallest amount of power trip on a large scale possible.
Right.
I honestly am waiting for, like, Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan to be like, we're just going to have our own playoff. We don't need or want the NCAA involved in this.
Yeah.
Like, because I think the NCAA needs the schools more than the school needs the NCAA.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they could. Like, if Alabama just started, like, we're going to pay players and then we'll play against whoever wants to, that would work. Like, people would still watch that.
Yeah. 100%. No, the NCAA, all it is just stupid. I cannot imagine those people are happy with their lives.
Yeah.
Like, what'd you do at work today, honey? Well, this 21-year-old kid who wanted to play by his grandmother, I told him he couldn't.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that's what they wanted to do growing up. And blame it on North Carolina when they really just didn't want to get sued. It's just so cowardly.
Yeah.
So that's my NCAA rant of the week. Should we talk about the NFL? Because you were talking about Magic Johnson before we started recording.
A little bit. Yeah, we can. Actually, the one thing I really want to talk about with the NFL is I saw something that I was sure was incorrect, but I've seen it two or three times. Did Khalil Mack have six or seven sacks in one game?
I thought it was nine.
Nine?
I thought he had nine on Sunday.
That was in the NCAA football game we used to have. I got 10 sacks in one game, and that set the record for college football.
Yeah. No, it's a lot.
Like, that's – well, yeah, because, like, the all-time NFL record, was it 22 and a half?
In a season? Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, so he's got to be at – you know, assuming he's at a couple other, he's going to be at, like, 12 right now, so.
I didn't even think about that, yeah. No, he's on pace, I guess, for sure.
How do you get nine? That's so many.
I remember in when I was in sixth grade, that's like the year Utah went undefeated and went to the Fiesta Bowl. And that was the first year I like really started paying attention to football. And in the Fiesta Bowl, they had 9 sacks. And I was like, oh, that's just how many sacks you get in a game. And then I realized, like, oh, like, if you get 3, that's a good game as a team.
Right.
And then Khalil Mack had 9 by himself.
That's like, teams don't always have 9 possessions in a game.
Yeah, it's 9's crazy.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, man. I feel like he gets forgotten up in Chicago, which makes sense because he had 9 sacks and they still lost the game. How mad would you be if you had 9 sacks and your team lost the game?
Well, you know, it's funny. This proves your point even more that it gets forgotten about because he plays for the Chargers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Since when?
Like 3 years ago.
Oh, I thought that he was, you know, sacking Russell Wilson.
No, he's sacking Aiden O'Connell, the poor rookie from Purdue.
Okay.
I wish Jimmy Garoppolo would have been healthy, so he could have been sacked 9 times.
I guess. I mean, I heard someone, like maybe Cowherd, talking about his trade from the Raiders to the Bears, and so I guess.
Well, that happened, and then the Bears traded him.
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that was like why it was in my mind. So, but yeah, no, we definitely. I mean, the Chargers aren't a super exciting team either. But.
Well, speaking of the Chargers, so they signed J.C. Jackson a couple years ago as a massive free agent, and they. From New England, and they just traded him back to New England for a late round pick swap. They paid him, I think, $35 million, like after they owned like 12 more, and he played like 8 games for him.
Yeah.
Chargers are not that well run.
No. Yeah. So,
which is crazy because they have a top, at worst, top 5 quarterback in the league.
Right. And again, they're in Los Angeles, you know.
Think if they had, instead of Justin Herbert, like Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins, like even a good quarterback, how bad they would be.
Right. And the Chargers, our whole lives, they've never been able, like even they've had like 11 Pro Bowlers on the team at the same time and can't win in the playoffs.
No, that 14-2 year with Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
And they lost that round. That was crazy. That was like one of my earliest memories of NFL, like playoff football, was everyone was talking about how good the Chargers were, and then it was like, what happened to the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, they really slide by without getting criticized as much as they need to.
No, they should. And Staley, because they started 0-3, but they won the last 2 games against the Vikings and Raiders, so it kind of took them off the hot seat a little bit. But I think if they go under 500, he's probably gone.
Sure, yeah.
Because the problem, one of the problems... is he's a defensive coach, and the defense stinks. It's kind of like Matt Eberflus in Chicago. Like, if you can't take care of your side of the ball, then why do we have you here?
Right.
It's one thing if you're like Bill Belichick and the offense sucks. We're still not great. And that's a bad example because Bill Belichick's like the best coach of all time. But like, you just hire a new coordinator. Or if you're like Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay and the offense sucks, just get a new coordinator. But if the defense sucks, like, well, this is what we hired you for.
Right.
So what are we doing? So it'll be interesting. You think Sean Payton would get fired in Denver? Now, the offense isn't the problem there, but the defense was a top unit last year, and it's like the worst in the NFL now.
I feel like you got to give him 2 years for as hard as they work to get him.
Do you got to? And Russ is playing better than last year, but do you think you got to give him a chance without Russell Wilson? Just kind of reboot everything?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't think you're trading picks for a coach and firing him in the first year.
Yeah, I mean, you got that Walmart money. I don't think you should fire Sean Payton either, but someone's got to get fired. I don't know who their defensive coordinator is, but they are bad. If you have the best cornerback in the league and what I think is one of an above-average defensive line, I won't say the best defensive line, but if you have Pat Surtain, just themselves, he shouldn't be the last defense in the league.
No, yeah. It's... Yeah, I don't know what you do with them. Like, I mean, their most embarrassing team the last couple of years.
Well, the Jets exist.
I guess the Jets, but we expect the Jets to be bad, you know.
Yeah, if you're talking about like below expectations, it has to be Broncos.
Yeah,
I think, for sure. Chicago's probably been the most frustrating team from like if I were a fan, like because you have all this reason to be excited and they just can't. I was telling you before the game, this Chicago Washington game last year. Is what made me give up on Justin Fields. I was like, I don't think he's going to be in the league next year. And then they went off on like a hot streak. He played super well. They still didn't win any of those games. They still haven't won in like over a year.
Right.
So, like, the hot streak, and we were talking about how well Justin Fields is playing, they didn't win.
Yeah, no, you can't. And they were playing the Broncos, who just gave up 70 points.
They were up, I think, 28-7 against the Broncos, yeah, too.
Right.
And again, it comes back to the defense. Like, Matt Eberflus, and the draft they hired Matt Eberflus, they went heavy on defense, which is great. But also, if you have a rookie quarterback you're trying to develop, let's get some linemen. Let's get some receivers. You know, let's get someone who can catch the ball and or throw the ball. Or block for Justin Fields, my bad.
Yeah.
But, like, they're in a position, they're going to have the top two picks, like, right now. We'll see if that stands by the end of the year. Probably not. But that being said, they could get Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, man. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on them immediately. But if both those guys are available and you get them. And I feel bad for Justin Fields because he had so much talent coming out. But, yeah, if Caleb Williams is there, there's no way you don't get him.
No, you have to. It's like an extrapolated Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray situation.
Yeah.
Like, if Caleb's there, you have to take him and trade Justin for, like, a fifth-round pick or something. Or fourth-round pick or whatever.
Something. That's crazy.
Let me ask you this. Let's go to the college picks, my college picks of the week, and see what you think. Teams are on buys now, so it's a little bit tougher. But these are my five college picks. 12-12-1. I should have been 5-0, but Washington fumbled on the goal line, and Fresno State let who are they playing? Nevada get a backdoor cover. So I should have been 5-0, but 12-12-1. So Alabama's playing Texas A&M. Alabama's -2.5, so they just need to win by field goal, basically. What are your thoughts?
I would think they could do that.
Alabama's been playing better. Jalen Milroe looks better.
Let me say, if they don't win by more of a field goal against Texas A&M, who's about to fire Jimbo Fisher, people are in Alabama, not around the country, but people in Alabama are going to start talking about firing Nick Saban.
I think it's already begun.
Yeah.
That talk. That's been the talk of the town in College Station for like 3 years now.
Sure.
But, okay, so Alabama -2.5, Washington State +3.5 at UCLA. Washington State's good.
Yeah.
UCLA is good, too. They have one of the top three edge rushers, probably, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Latu. I don't want to mispronounce his last name. He's very good. Dante Moore is a really talented freshman quarterback, but I think Washington State can keep it close. And the Rose Bowl isn't exactly Death Valley, either. You know, think they get, if it's not the USC game, 20, 30,000 fans there?
Well, yeah. I mean, UCLA's got to be the, I don't know, the 14th best ticket in Los Angeles right now.
Well, let's count. So, Dodgers, Lakers, probably Clippers.
Clippers, yeah. These are not, especially as we get 5-8, these are not really going to be in order.
No. No, I'm just going, yeah, chronologically. USC football, Rams, Chargers, that's 6.
Mm-hmm.
LA Kings, LAFC is 8.
LAFC is 8.
Probably Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, we need to think about the Galaxy, but I would for sure, especially just because they've got such a huge... The Galaxy, I feel like, weirdly become the Hispanic team in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would rather go to a Galaxy game.
I would put UCLA basketball ahead of UCLA football, probably.
I think so, yeah.
And then I'm worried our Posey's going to climb on those shelves, so don't jump there. And that's not even counting, like the NWSL team, Angel City.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know. I know that these women's sports, they get a lot of views, but not a lot of people actually go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more people are going to the UCLA football game. But in terms of, like, where the fans are more engaged and what's actually going to be more fun to watch, I would put the Sparks ahead of UCLA football.
Well, and it's tough, too, for the students because it takes – like, the University of Utah, it takes less time to fly to Los Angeles than it does for UCLA to drive to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that makes it hard.
It's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the Rose Bowl, so it's still cool. But, yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's not a home game, but it's not really a road game either for Washington State.
Sure, yeah.
So then we got Michigan -19.5 against Minnesota. Michigan's the best team in the country. I don't understand why they're not the consensus number one pick, especially because Georgia, they look – exactly like 2014 Florida State. Not like style, but just like the vibes.
Uh-huh.
2013 Florida State was the best team maybe of the that decade. Like, they were unbelievable. James Winston wins the Heisman. They dominate every game. And then 2014, they still went undefeated, went to the playoff, but got handed, got their butts handed to them by Florida, or excuse me, by Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Like, this the whole season, there were these cracks, and they just kept winning and winning and winning. But, and that's kind of like what Georgia's doing. They let Auburn hang around. They let South Carolina. Both teams actually got early leads on Georgia. It's hard to stay that hungry for that long, and it seems like they're just kind of sleepwalking. That being said, they're going to go undefeated through the SEC, at least to the SEC championship game.
Sure.
Which will probably be against Alabama. Probably be against the winner of this game, Alabama or Texas A&M.
Yeah. And it is, yeah, I mean, like, the staying hungry thing is important. And I know we talk about Georgia, especially on defense, being the deepest team in the country and that we remember really in recent memory. But I just feel like you can't lose seven NFL players and not suffer the next season, even if the guys are just as talented. It's a whole new year. They got to figure out how to play with each other and stuff. And so that's going to go slower, even if they are as talented, which I think it's, you know, practically impossible that they are.
100%. Okay, next game. Tell me what you think about this. Miami, -20.5 against Georgia Tech. Do you know Miami has the highest percentage of drives that they score on in the country?
I did not know that.
Miami's legit. Tyler Van Dyke is a legit quarterback, both in college and as a pro prospect. Deep team. Mario Cristobal's always been a good coach. I think last year, you know, when they struggled, we were like, oh, what's up with Mario Cristobal? It takes a little bit of time sometimes to get your guys in, even in the transfer portal era.
Sure.
So Miami's legit. I'm close to putting them as the second best team in the ACC. I still have North Carolina ahead of them. The last game's TCU -6.5 just because Iowa State's really bad. And TCU still has some NFL talent. Shane Morris is a good quarterback. Matt Campbell really fumbled the bag. Remember a few years ago when he was like the hottest coaching name?
I do remember.
Getting like, you know, people are like, oh, you should go to the NFL. You should go to this job, that job. And Brock Purdy leaves. And I'm oversimplifying it, but Brock Purdy leaves and he can't win anything.
Yeah, man, that really... It really puts it in perspective. I mean, I guess people seeing him in the NFL, I'm sure, realized that he was doing more at Iowa State than they thought he was. Yeah. But.
So that's. I think TCU is going to win that game by more than a touchdown. I feel great about all of those picks. So this college football season is awesome because, like, Georgia, Michigan, again, I still think they're the clear best team in the country, but Penn State looks good. Like, the Big Ten East, there's three teams. Pac-12 is awesome. Big 12, Texas looks really, really good. And they got the Oklahoma game this week. But that's a deep conference. There's a lot of teams. There's like 11 teams that are maybe 10 that are like, you know, could go to the college football playoff and win a game there.
Yeah, well, I feel like we've, you know, the whole time there's been a playoff, besides maybe the first year, because I don't think we totally knew what it was, we've known who at least three of the playoff teams, if not four, from the very beginning of the season. This year, I feel like we feel confident about Michigan and Georgia going to the playoff, and that's really it. And I know that's half the playoff, but it's so much less and so much uncertainty than there have been in years past.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people even, like, they have, instead of Michigan, Penn State or Ohio State, like, even Michigan, which I don't understand why it's not, but it's not, like, a guarantee. And Georgia only is because of their schedule. If they had to play... like Alabama in the and LSU. Ooh, LSU is not fantastic. They gave up 700 yards of offense to Ole Miss. But I don't know, just a lot going on. I'm excited. The Washington Oregon game in a few weeks is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That was the number one game I was looking forward to most in the season. Looks like the two best teams in the Pac-12. So, and I'm including USC in that. So I'm excited to watch that.
It's nice for the Pac-12 to go out on a high note.
Yeah, and on a bang.
Yeah. Good for them. Yeah, no, that will be a game we'll have to talk about as we get closer.
Awesome. Should we get to the top five?
Let's do it.
So this is what we were going to do last week, but again, the Taylor Swift stuff came up. So these are the top five vacation cities. ended up just being beach cities just because that's my ideal vacation. So it's really just kind of beach towns.
Okay.
/ cities.
Yeah.
First one's St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay.
And it's really the fifth. That's number five. I think that's the best beach in Florida. Super cool town. Love the lighthouse. Love the beaches there. Next one's Maui.
Maui's a great place.
Maui's, I mean, right, the second suboptimal, obviously.
Sure, but yeah, no, that's we went. Shout out to Annie, our sister. We went out to visit her because she was living there for a time, and it was great. I mean, I couldn't picture. It was very stereotypically Hawaii, which I'm sure they want to be.
That was great. That was awesome.
But yeah, I had a great time.
The cliff jumping, lots of good running. There's golf that we didn't get to do. Now Maui should probably be higher than this, but I put San Clemente 3 just because that's one of my favorite surf beaches. There's Trestles in San Clemente. You can't drive to it, so you have to walk or like ride your bike. It's like at the bottom edge of Orange County, so it has like a smaller town feel, even though it's in the middle of Southern California.
Well, see, I was just about to say that you know how people say that Reno is the biggest small city in the world. Mm-hmm. When we were in San Clemente, I felt like it was the biggest small city.
Instead of Reno.
Or not, I mean, maybe it's all right. Reno looks big and is small. San Clemente looked small and is big, I felt
that
like.
Makes sense.
Like, there were just, like, a lot of people there. And, like, there was a lot of going on, a lot of restaurants and stuff. Not in a bad way. Like, it didn't feel crowded. But it's like, this is a big place. Like, this is not a small town, even though it looks like one.
Yeah, no, tons of good food. And I think because it goes, like, back into the hills, it's a lot, like, it is more populated than it looks like. It's right next to San Juan Capistrano as well. But there's a lot of cool stuff, a lot going on there. That's my favorite, like, by far, my favorite place in Southern California.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can see that.
Okay, number two, Outer Banks, North Carolina. What a beautiful place that was. Like, North Carolina, especially the Outer Banks, like, prettiest sunsets ever. It's just so cool being on that, like, little strip of land.
Yeah.
The wild horses. Cool. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a really cool trip. A lot of seashells on the beach. And not every beach has seashells, but they had a ton.
Not a lot, but I saw a couple of those, like, tiny crabs walking sideways. They're small enough where they were like, oh, that's fun. Not like, oh, I need to move.
Yes, yeah.
And then last one, this is bias, massive bias, but Santa Cruz, California. Our dad's from there, grew up going there. Again, great surfing, great food, small town. You know, even though it's crowded on the weekend, it's not like that crowded. It's just like there's a lot of people at the beach weekend in the summer.
Sure, yeah.
But it's still not like it's not like bad traffic or anything, you know?
No, yeah, never bad traffic. Not the roads anyway, sometimes the freeways, but that's true everywhere.
Yeah, Highway 1 can get a little backed up, which is going to happen, but I don't know, I love it there. So, anywhere by a beach, I'm generally pretty happy, though. There's, like, Destin, Florida is awesome. A couple of beaches in Oregon, like, beach towns in Oregon that are really cool, like Lincoln City.
For sure,
for example.
Yeah, you did not mention South Carolina. Myrtle Beach was something I feel like you've talked about going to for a long time.
I actually haven't been there.
Yeah.
I want to go.
You very much want to.
I would love to go.
Yeah. Hear about it a lot.
Yeah. And I was kind of on sleeping pills still when we were in Savannah just because we landed from a red eye. So, And I know Savannah's not like on the beach, but it kind of is, you know, like.
Right.
It's kind of like how Concepcion isn't on the coast, but it really is.
Yes.
Down in Chile.
Yeah. I get you.
Anyway. So that's top five. Appreciate everybody listening. We're going to start this Commanders game. I'm going to finish working on the article, that favorite college football players article, finally working on that. Again, I need to start saying this at the beginning of the show. I keep forgetting, but feel free to drop a 5-star review if you haven't done so. It really helps us out. Leave a comment. Subscribe to any of the like Twitter, YouTube stuff at MJ Double Take. Let us know, and we'll talk to you guys next week.